Well, as mentioned at the opening of this short service, today is Palm Sunday, or Passion Sunday. It begins what's called Holy Week, or the Great Week, the week where the Church reflects on Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, his trial, and his brutal execution. Normally at church, all over the world, we'd have what's called the Liturgy of the Palms, where we commemorate Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. Some churches have a palm procession where the congregation carries palms from outside the church to inside the church. Here at St. John's, normally we decorate our aisle with palms, creating a display that evokes Jesus' entry into the holy city and his journey to the cross. You'll see our altar frontal is purple, but it would normally, if the church were to be open, it would be changed to red. The Gospel of Matthew in year A, would be read with different voices. But this year, of course, our church is closed like every other place of worship. So we can't hold these precious Holy Week services in the church. What a special Holy Week it will be next year, when, God willing, this pandemic is over. As we enter this Holy Week, more united, I think, as a global family, and more aware of the fragility of life than we've probably experienced for some decades, we can draw strength from the words in today's psalm. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. But in you, Lord, have I put my trust. I have said, you are my God. It's a reassuring prayer, isn't it, at this time of so much sorrow and death, especially in Europe and the United States. Well, as Jesus turns towards Jerusalem and his impending death, who do different people think he is? Jesus has been, if you recall, on the Mount of Olives with his disciples and now looks resolutely ahead to what he knows awaits. The crowds at the gate of Jerusalem hail Jesus as their long-awaited Davidic king. The Messiah has come to liberate them. Repressive Roman rule will be overthrown. This rabbi, about whose miracles and teachings many of them have heard, is the great deliverer. Imagine, if you will, the hope and promise that they attach to Jesus as he rides in like ancient royalty on a donkey, humbly but still royally. A donkey that he's requisitioned, as royalty was permitted to do. Those watching him can't have mistaken the symbolism of all this. The symbolism is further deepened as Jesus rides from the Mount of Olives, the place from where it's understood God's final rescue of Israel would come. No wonder they cry, Hosanna, save us, save us. In their collective memory must have been the prophet Zechariah's words, Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So let's rejoice and shout aloud. A king of liberation, a king of peace no less, has come. How devastating it must have been a few days later when their Messiah is arrested, tried, and executed as a common criminal. How devastating to feel that you'd backed the wrong horse. I don't think this crowd is necessarily the crowd that's calling for Jesus to be crucified, but even if they were, right at that moment, what a disastrous ending to what promised to be their salvation. Well, who do the religious authorities think Jesus is? They think he's a Nazarene rebel and blasphemer, at least that's the charge they bring against him, who threatens their credibility and who calls them out on their hypocrisy and lies. Jesus has already audaciously cleansed the temple, a symbolic declaration of his being the new temple, an act completely intolerable to the religious authorities. And he's a completely unacceptable political threat to the Roman order, where Caesar is God, and there will be no other God but Caesar. Who does Pilate think Jesus is? A pathetic nobody who should be released? A nuisance at a time when he needed order among the crowds during Passover? Maybe. Most damning, though, is that Pilate knows Jesus is innocent of all charges brought against him by the jealous authorities. He knows that. Both the religious elite and Pilate know that an innocent man is there on trial and is unjustly sentenced to die a horrific death. But silence him they will. One lone voice amidst the noise speaks the truth for Jesus. Pilate's wife whispers to no avail, "Let this innocent, let this righteous man go." Who does Jesus think he is? He doesn't see himself as a good man or a good teacher or even a holy rabbi. Particularly in his cleansing of the temple and his choosing Passover of all holy days for his entry into Jerusalem, so meaningful to those craving liberation and so alarming to the authorities, he chooses these two things, the cleansing of the temple, the arrival in Jerusalem at Passover, to explicitly reveal that he is the fulfillment of Scripture. In him is the return of Israel from exile and the return of God to Zion. Jesus is the new Passover. As the prophet Zechariah foretells, he is the Messiah who comes in righteousness, humility, and victory. And the world will be disarmed and peace will prevail. Jesus knows that in him and in his obedience to God, the new day will dawn for Israel and the world. And Jesus sees in his death victory over the darkness of Rome, the darkness of evil that he sees all around him, the darkness that came when Israel went its own way from God. He also sees in his imminent death the power of forgiveness, where he forgives even his tormentors. Indeed, he dies on behalf of his tormentors. Who do we think Jesus is? In the shadow of the cross, in the shadow of a pandemic even, this is worth pondering. Right now, it can be pretty hard to think about or talk about death, even Jesus's death, which for Christians is a compelling focus of this holiest of weeks. We're so surrounded by news of illness and death that it's understandable if Holy Week is particularly distressing this year. I'm finding it difficult myself in some ways. But there's something reassuring about going back and asking ourselves this question: who do we think Jesus is? Who do we believe he is? It's reassuring to read familiar scripture, to read this passion narrative from Matthew, and to read the other passion narratives from the other Gospels. To reacquaint ourselves with Christ's love for us. I hope and pray that as we follow Jesus into Holy Week, because unlike the crowds and disciples and the powerful elite who at that moment of Christ's death can see only the finality of death, I hope and pray that we know the joyous life embodied in the risen Christ. Be of good courage this week. Find some time at home to sit gently and patiently with our Lord. He knows our suffering because he has suffered, and this is surely what Holy Week is about. He knows our worries and anxieties because, being human, he was worried and anxious. He knows our human fear of death because didn't he too pray, "My Father, if possible, let this cup pass from me." The hymn in Paul's letter to the Philippians is a beautiful distillation of all that Christ is and what he did for us. And it's well worth our deep reflection during Holy Week. Let me read part of it to you. Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Who do we think Jesus is? Who do we believe Jesus is? Jesus is our exalted King. God exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name. In Jesus' death, we're given a whole new kind of radical king, a king of love, humility, grace, salvation, joy, hope, shalom. This is what I'm holding on to right now, especially in this time of serious pandemic. I also pray that through Holy Week, like the centurion and the other Roman soldiers keeping guard over Jesus' broken body, I might discover anew what it is that I believe. Who do I believe Jesus is? And I pray that I can discover anew that I believe that this man really is the Son of God. That's my prayer too for you as we enter Holy Week. Amen.